Now it's on.
You're on.
I've had quite a battle leading to this this morning. I asked Ralph if I could speak, and I had a word. And about a week after I asked, the Lord gave me another word. And I had a real battle with that word. And 2 weeks ago, on Sunday, the Spirit of the Lord was, I don't know if, there was just a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit that Sunday morning. And I had come to the service saying, okay, I just won't speak that new word. I'm just going to speak the word that I originally had. I was prepared for that. And I had to surrender. I like to know how I'm going to speak. I'm not scared to stand up here, but I like to have everything in my hand. I want to know what's going on. And the Lord says, are you willing to surrender even if you don't know what's going on? And I had to surrender that morning. And it's amazing the peace that the Lord gave me regarding speaking this word. I know without a shadow of a doubt the Lord has a word for the church this morning. And I know that the church right now is going through a transition time. If you're not aware of that, spend time in the Word. Spend time seeking the Lord. Right now, the Lord is speaking to the church. There's something happening here right now. Some of us feel like it's negative. And some of us feel there's a birthing of something new. But it is, there is something happening.
Amen.
And it's affecting many, many of us. And we need to be prepared. So as I gave in, here I am. I'm going to speak on faith. I remember the story, Ralph always talks about the story about a bunch of people holding up the walls in the old Canberra church. And people thinking they were nuts at the Dunville High School afterwards because these crazy people were upholding the walls on a church. And this church began on a statement of faith. And when Ralph asked me last Sunday, there was a bit of confusion on what he was asking me. He was asking me before the service, and I was telling him something else. And anyway, it didn't matter. I was still speaking on faith, and I knew what I was speaking on. It wasn't an issue that I didn't know. Sounds kind of boring, to be honest with you, to me anyways, to say, well, faith, you know what I mean? I hope, I mean, some people didn't show up because they thought it was going to be boring or something like that, but I know the Lord can do a work. I need to ask you just to pray with me. I and myself can't speak this word, and you and yourself can't interpret this word. The only way that we can get what the Lord has for us this morning is through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left this earth, he said, I'm going to leave you a comforter, and that's your teacher. And all the intellect in the world is not going to teach us this morning. All the cool words and the cool stories and all that kind of stuff is not going to teach us this morning. It's only the Holy Spirit. So as I surrendered 2 weeks ago to speak this word, I would ask that you would surrender this morning to hear through the Holy Spirit's teaching of you this morning. And God's Word is like a kaleidoscope. For one of you, it's going to be one thing. I'm sure Ralph's experienced this, where he's studied and he's prepared and he's spoken a word and he had this direction of that word, and somebody comes up, he says, were you even in this room? Like they say something that they heard from that word and it didn't even seem, because God's Word is like a kaleidoscope and it ministers to all the different needs, because the Holy Spirit ministers to all the different needs in the room. And so He will minister to you in the need that you have right now if you'll surrender to Him. Okay, so let's just pray. Dear Father, I just thank You that You gave Your Son. What an amazing gift that You've given to us. And I thank You that You gave us the Comforter, a teacher, to teach us of You. And Lord, I pray this morning that as we surrender ourselves to You, that You would teach us Your Word in such a fashion that we've never known before.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that You would teach this church to be built together as a body, as a unit, so that we can glorify You here. And we give you the glory this morning in everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, let me speak on faith. And if you speak on faith, you got to go to Hebrews 11, verse 1, right? I'm going to speak on Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. I'm going to speak on three words. Substance, evidence, and reporting. There's a couple different types of faith. There's a couple different expressions of faith. There's personal faith. It's when you accepted the Lord. You surrendered yourself knowing that Jesus died on the cross for you and He did it all for you, and you surrendered yourself and accepted Him as your personal Savior. Then there's this corporate faith. I got to have faith that the Lord is working in Ralph, that He leads me. Let's say in the body, we talk, the church is called the body of Christ. He uses that metaphor all the time. And if I'm the hand in the body, and let's say Bob is the arm, and I want to pick up that water, I got my clinchers going really, really well, and Bob is going way back here, it doesn't work that well. I have to have faith that Bob is hearing the Lord. He understands that we got to pick up that bottle, and he moves over, and we can pick up the bottle. Do you understand? So there's corporate faith. So I would like to speak about corporate faith. This church is being challenged in the area of corporate faith. There's two different types of teaching. You can teach from the New Testament specific items. I read from Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2. And then there's these stories from the Old Testament that the Scripture tells us are teachers on teaching us the new covenant in Jesus Christ. Okay? So I'm going to use both of those venues. We're going to carry on. I read a story about a megachurch. The leadership of that megachurch had a vision for the church, an incredible vision for the church. The Lord had given this direction for this church. Now, I know the end of the story, so I know it was God's leading. Turned out that only 16% of that church followed the leadership. 84% left. Ended up being an amazing story. The church grew. And still to this day, we are feeling the effects of that megachurch. But only 16% of that church followed. That's sad. God right now has a vision for this church. A really definitive vision for this church. And there's times in the church when He speaks very clearly. And right now, I'm telling you, He's speaking really clearly to this church. We need to define that time. This isn't time to procrastinate. This is a very important time. The church is Israel. The story is God gave Moses, the pastor of that church, mega church, a couple million people, pretty good size. God gave the church a vision to possess a promised land. So it says in Numbers 13, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel." So He's got this special place for us. He's got a very special place for us. And the leadership says, I need you to search that place. Are we willing to search that place? The one word that I want to bring out this morning is the word substance. When we think of faith, I think of the word evidence quite easily if I'm thinking about faith. You're sick, I have faith, you're healed, evidence done. I don't think of the whole meaning of faith. I'm talking about corporate faith here this morning. It gets even more messy. Because you're a jerk, I'm good, problem. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a fact of life. Like, we're church would be so much easier if there wasn't anybody in it. Because people, I prayed in prayer, and it was kind of really unspiritual in the prayer time a month and a half ago. The Lord was really kicking me in the butt over it. So I was having trouble with it. I was praying for stupid people. That sounds corny, but do you know what? Sometimes we get so frustrated with people that we think they're just stupid. Right. And in the body of Christ, we have all these people around us. Substance says a quality of confidence which leads one to stand under, endure, or undertake anything. This word substance is describing hope. So in this story with the children of Israel, God wanted Moses to subject these people to substance builders. In Numbers 13, verses 18 to 20, here's what he asks the 12 small group leaders to deal with. He said to them, they weren't that small groups, but we'll just go with it. It's the big thing right now, small group. And see the land, what it is, and the people that dwells therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether it in tents or strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Five things there. People, land, tents or strongholds, fat or lean, and wood or not. There's five things that he asked them to go and check out. People. This is the church. They've been given a promise. God's called the church to go and possess this promise that they have. What's one of the obstacles in front of them? People. He describes it a little bit further, and he says, are they strong or are they weak? Are the people around you, some of us like strong people. Some of us like strong people. I can follow a person that's strong. And then there's some of us that don't like strong people. They intimidate me. Or the weak people. Some of us like the weak people because they're easier to minister to. They soak it up, you know what I mean? And some of us don't like the weak people because they're kind of takers. They suck the life out of you. And then there's few or many. Okay, there's the mega church and there's the small church. There's small groups and then in the mega church. Well, I'm going to church and there's nobody that really connects with me. I want to go to a bigger place because there's more people to connect with. Or I want to go to a bigger place because I'll have more kids for my kids. Or I want to go to a smaller place because there's no intimacy in this church. Such a confusing bunch of words that this pastor of this congregation asked his people to go out and check out because he's got this promise. He's got this promise and he's saying, I want you to check out these specific things because according to what this guy that gave me the promise has done, he says these are things in this kind of a setting there may be some problems. I want you to build the substance. Corporate faith. I want you to come to a place where you're willing to stand under, endure, or undertake anything. I want the substance built. The people aren't the substance. The people are the substance builders. Do you understand? It doesn't matter whether there's few, whether there's a lot. It doesn't matter if they're strong or they're weak. That's not the issue. It's a matter of what they're there for. They're there to build the substance of your hope. And he says, I want you to check out the land. I don't know if I really believe in the direction that Ralph and the leadership are taking me. I don't really know whether I want to go a different direction. Do you know what? In a lot of cases, it doesn't really matter. God has placed it there as a builder of substance. He wants your hope so strong that nothing will shatter it. How about tents and strongholds? Man, there are some strongholds in front of us. There are some situations in front of us as a church that we look at and we say, we must be going down a wrong path. We must have turned left when we were supposed to turn right. And we analyze all these things. We analyze the people, the strongholds, all these things, the vision. We analyze it all. And God says, I just want you to go in and report on it. Fat or lean? I'll tell you, this is such a common thing in the church today. Not whether you're skinny or fat. Whether you're the person that is excited about something in the Lord gets condemned by the person that doesn't want to really go over the edge too far because, you know what? They're fanatical. By next week, they'll be settled down again. God puts those things in our path. He knows specifically that those things happen in the church. The youth had a revival, we'll call it, a few weeks back, and Ralph challenged the parents. He said, hey, something happened. Are you going to partake in it? Or deep down, are you saying, in a few weeks it'll settle down? And then there's wood or not. He's asking to check if there's a place there where there's supply to build. Is there a supply there for you to build? When you come to church, when you come to join together with the body of Christ, I'm talking about corporate faith here. When you come to the body of Christ, are you coming with the purpose to build? This is what faith is about. This is substance builders. So there's two responses to this whole story. We got the 84% that came back and they said in Numbers 13, verses 32 and the start of 33, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Went to church. There's too many Tim Brinkies. Give me a break. We've all heard that story. Got my best friend is a pastor of a church. And there's too many of his family in his church. And in our eyes, we're as grasshoppers.
Just in brickies.
I'm being facetious, but do you understand? We say some stupid, stupid things in our report. The church is in a pivotal point right now. And I'm not just saying that's the statements that are only said. We're saying many different things about who's in place, who's not in place. And we're coming back with a report that overwhelms us and said, nah, I don't think this vision's the right vision. Let's just stay right where we are. Or, in their particular case, let's go back to where we were. Let's go back to when we laid hands on the building in Canberra. Let's go back to the good old days. Let's go back. You know, I mean, all we had to do was put a little bit of mortar together with the bricks and a bit of straw with the bricks. At least every night we came home, we had a meal on the table. Meanwhile, God's provided for them a meal every day. The other response, well, these people, they responded, they saw the obstacles not as substance builders, but they saw the obstacles as obstacles. They saw the people as an obstacle. They saw the strongholds as an obstacle. They saw everything as an obstacle. There's somebody in the church, it's an obstacle. There's something going wrong in the church, it's an obstacle. Meanwhile, God placed those things in front of you as substance builders. It's the inclusion of faith. You get this 16%. Response number two. Numbers 13, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and he said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." He looked at the substance that was in front of him. He looked at the things that were in front of him. And he says, it's not an issue whether those people irritate me. It's not an issue whether there is fruit or no fruit. It's not an issue to me that that's going to stop me, because I know those are as bread for me, he says in another verse. The people are as bread for me. In other words, they're life. We think of bread as the nourishment to our bodies. Caleb said to the people, he says, this is bread for us. This is what we need as a body of believers. We need this in our body. It says in Colossians 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's a mystery. When we have this vision, this place where God's taking us as a church, it's mysterious. It's scary. We're challenged to go on new ground. And it's not the easiest thing in the world. But it's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. In other words, these substance builders are all just directing you back to Christ. For me this morning, it would have been easier for me to speak a word that I already had prepared. It would have been much easier for me this morning. And the Lord says, I got a substance builder in your path. I didn't know. I had an obstacle in front of me. I didn't know how to communicate. I tried to communicate the word to Nick and Arda at home. I didn't know how to. I couldn't get it out. It sounded stupid. It was an obstacle. It was a substance builder. It was something that got me to a place that I stand here this morning, and I'm standing and I'm saying, I will endure and undertake anything now. Do you understand? God has placed all of us together. He's placed the situations that we're placed in for a purpose. Does it mean that none of us can ever leave this church? No, that's not the case. But if you do, you will know that you know that you know, because God is leading you on. And I honestly believe the leadership will know too. I honestly believe that. I know it sounds too controlling. Nope. It's actually liberating. And I speak from experience. So now we come to the word evidence. This faith is, this is one portion of it. Do you understand? We're only touching one portion of it right now. So then we come to evidence. And I like the word evidence because I like to see what's going on. Evidence means proving, proof, some sort of proof. Yet the end of the word of evidence is things not seen. Kind of a strange, it's like an oxymoron. We use the terminology quite often. I'm going to shed light on this situation. And I think we use that because it's a biblical principle. In Ephesians 5, verses 8 to 10, it says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." As we walk in light, we prove what's acceptable to the Lord. What the real light is all about is God's Word. It says, "Thy Word," in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Caleb stated a simple truth when he came out of the land of Canaan. He stated a very simple truth. He says, if the Lord delights in us, he knew that the Lord had said that he delighted in them. So this is what the Lord said. So if that's the case, then, he says, he will bring us into this land and give it us and the land, a land which flows with milk and honey. He says, if this is what he said, then this is what he'll do. And that's it. Point blank. I sit there and I've got those two words, and I've always used Hebrews 11 verse 1 as my interpretation of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I've taken those two words, or that word, and I've semi-understood it. Okay, if I lay hands on somebody, they should be healed. I have faith that the Lord's moving in the church, and it should happen. But I was sitting in those situations, and I was looking at things in different views. And then came in verse 2, and it says that for by it the elders obtained a good report. In my business, when I do reporting, I report month this year for month last year. If I reported in my business a May compared to a December, it'd be a strange reporting. There wouldn't be there needs to be an actual comparison of likes together. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I compared my business to the dollar store, it'd be a whole different set of rules. So we need to compare two things that are alike. So the Lord's given us substance. He speaks of the word faith. He's given us substance. He's given us evidence. Substance of those things, the people, the situations that are placed in front of us. And then he's given us evidence, the light of the Word of God. Are they likes? No, they don't necessarily have to be likes. In this particular case, they can possibly not be likes. Well, how does this make sense? If they're not likes, and I'm supposed to do reporting on it, how come they're of such a nature? It doesn't make sense. It says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 12 and 13, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, which things also we speak. Not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." What's the reporting that Hebrews 11 verse 2 is talking about? It's comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I'm racing to get to this point because I don't want you to be confused. Because I'm racing to get to this point because this is the transition that the church is in. We've got this substance that's placed in front of us, and we don't want to look at it as spiritual. Our reporting that we need to do to fulfill faith is there needs to be reporting spiritual against spiritual. We come to church and we report music. Too loud. Oh, natural. We report natural against what? God's called us to report spiritual against spiritual. If we continue to report natural against spiritual, it is not faith. Point blank, it is not faith. You cannot, there is nothing that will change my mind on that fact. You need to come and report spiritual with spiritual. Okay, well, the Word of God, that's pretty straight. The light part, like the evidence part, that's pretty straightforward. You know what? I'm the biggest culprit in this. I've read the Word of God inside and out and upside down, and I'll tell you, you want to challenge me on something? Give me a good run for the money, and I will rip the skin off your back. And the leadership in this church has experienced that through the last 18 or 19 years occasionally. Right? I can do a good job of it. Is it spiritual? Not even remotely. Doctrinal? Got the doctrine down to a science. Is it right? No. Unless I allow the Holy Spirit to teach me what He's teaching me, the Word can be a weapon. It can be a weapon in your hands. So you come and you've got all this doctrinal issues. Have you spent 1 minute allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you what He's calling you to? This isn't to condemn you. This is to liberate you. The church is at a transition time. And sometimes we just need to make a jump. We need to make a change. Do you know what? This is not an easy word for me to speak. I'm telling you, it is not easy. This is much easier. I got the privilege of speaking again next week, and I am... Man, I spin the forward dial. I love this word, but I hate saying the word. Do you understand? But I know as a church, we need to come to a place of saying, God, today, what are you speaking to me from your word? What, Holy Spirit, I surrender this morning. I surrender to hear what you're speaking to me from your word. What are you speaking to me? Rather than, okay, I want to know what this is all about. Holy Spirit, what is it all about for you today? What are you teaching me? When Jesus left this earth, He said, I'm leaving you a teacher, and this teacher will teach you in all things. He will teach you how to be a car dealer. He will teach you how to be a truck driver. He will teach you what to do with a broken down truck. He'll teach you in all things. Just open the Word of light and He will teach you. Now we can take this word. I think Nick had a friend, he read the Bible over and over and over again. He read it as a book. Doesn't know the Lord. And how many of you know people that have just, they've read the book. And you say, well, how come they don't know the Lord? They haven't surrendered themselves to allow the Holy Spirit to teach them. Then you have this next person, they read the whole book through, instantly saved. Because the Holy Spirit did it. Church, how are we going to grow? How are we going to grow? If every day we go into the Word, if every day we go into the Word and compare spiritual with spiritual, that means allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us, I guarantee you, without a shadow of a doubt, you come here on a Sunday morning and you will be spoken to. The word that the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you is the same word that He's speaking to everybody else. I guarantee you, you will be fed. I guarantee you, you will see the growth in the church. Can But I have to deal with those morons. I guarantee you, if you allow the Holy Spirit to see through the eyes what the Holy Spirit's teaching you, those morons will not be morons anymore. They will be places of ministry. What do you have to do? Compare spiritual with spiritual. There's substance. Substance was people, vision, fat or lean, few or many people. Is there building tool, building materials there? These are the substance builders there. Are we willing to surrender those things to the teaching of the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to surrender music? Are you willing to surrender the style of teaching? Are you willing to surrender the style of personalities that you rub up against to the Holy Spirit and His teaching? I sound so confident, don't I? I hate it. I hate it at times. Because I can analyze so much. My biggest strength is my biggest enemy. But God wants this church to grow. Numerically, doesn't really matter. That'll be a byproduct. Could be a byproduct. But spiritually, and I mean that in the fullest essence of the word, spiritually, comparing spiritual with spiritual. The importance of comparing spiritual with spiritual is so, so important. Establish your hope. There's people here that have lost hope. Establish your hope through the substance things that God has put in your path. The things that you've lost hope in are exactly the things that God has put in your life to establish hope. He's put things that you don't have control over so that He could have control. He's put things in your life that are different than you so the differences could be set aside through the commonness of Christ. He's put you here so that you could build up, and He's put you here so that you could be built. Because the building materials are in this promised land. But when you go into that land to report, you either are going to look at it in a spiritual sense or not. This is a totally change of thinking you've got to do. This is a total regeneration of your mind that you have to change and say, Lord, why do you have that person in front of me? Lord, why do you have that situation in front of me? Lord, why do I get irritated with that every Sunday? Lord, why do I get this? Holy Spirit, I surrender, teach me. Holy Spirit, I come to you in the Word daily. You know what? I don't give any leeway to daily. This isn't law. This is you need this daily. Because if you're going to go out to the workforce, there's a fair amount of morons in church, but can you imagine how many morons at a workforce? Right? There's a major amount there. Those morons in the workforce, and I want to speak more about that next week, about the marketplace. Those morons in the workplace are substance builders. If you go to work and you're not aware that they're substance builders, they're not the substance. The substance is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But they are substance builders in your life. If you're not going in the Word, what happens is the faith isn't totally there, because what ends up happening is we need to do reporting. So if we go to work and we understand they're substance builders. Okay, I understand they're substance builders. Sorry, I don't have enough time for this, so we'll close that. I'm going to go to work. I go to work. The substance builder, they know what to do. They are created specifically for you. You think, anyways. You walk in, and they just crank it one step farther. You haven't got this on that side. You haven't got the you haven't got the reporting opportunity. There's no faith. If you can't report, where's the faith? You haven't got that thing to report against. There is no faith. You need the Word daily, because daily God is challenging you with those substance builders so that He can be the hope of your glory. Of His glory, sorry. If you're not in the Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach it to you, you don't relate to the other one neither. If you're not in the Word, if you don't come prepared on a Sunday morning, I'm telling you, it is phenomenal to stop and pray on a Sunday morning. If you have the opportunity just to come and pray, even if it's just selfish, come a little selfish. We'll start that way. Hopefully it'll change as time goes along. But just come selfish, 9 o'clock, third door down left. We have room. We will expand if we outgrow it. But I hope I said that out of turn, but we probably would. Yeah. So you come and just pray selfishly to prepare your heart to hear, so that by the end of Sunday, you will be able to do reporting. Whereas the Scripture says, you will, as an elder in the church, obtain a good report. Can you imagine if everybody in this church on a daily basis obtained a good report? I don't know if you ever heard the Scripture, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." So they take a lick off of us in the world. Yeah. Taste and see when it's a good report. It's strange. It's a new flavor. It's like going to Stony Creek Dairy and they come out with the new... I don't think they could come out with anything better than peanut butter Rolo, but if there was, you know what I mean, it would be, and wow, this is new. And they want it. Is the side effect, the byproduct of us following this, is people will come to know the Lord. But it is not what we need to focus on. We need to focus on comparing spiritual with spiritual, so our faith is strengthened. We have let that slip. I'm sorry. I don't want to be condemning or anything. I've let it slip. Come prepared. All of you know my worship time is running. I love just... I bawl my eyes out running. It's just like heaven to me. The exercise part's kind of cool, but it really isn't that big of a deal to me. It's the worship time. It's my closet. And I was running on Friday, and the Lord says, and now I'm going to share with you a prophetic word for the church. So that's kind of corny. I like prophecy. I come through a bit of a time and era where it got abused a little bit. I'm not knocking it, don't get me wrong. I got a semi-critical attitude at times towards it. And so whenever the word comes up, and I've got to stop that. Because the Lord, it's a gift to the church, and it's something that I need to embrace. Do you understand? But because of some of the era that we came through, that really charismatic-y, it was sometimes abused. But the Lord gave me a word, and it's just from the Scripture, and I never read this beforehand. I read it earlier, but in Numbers 13, verse 20, the second half of it, I'm going to read it in the paraphrase that the Lord gave it to me. Be of good courage now. Jubilee, be of good courage now, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now, the time is the time. The time is the time of the first ripe grapes. It is time now. Bring of the fruit of the land. It is time for you to surrender to the Holy Spirit to teach you in the circumstances, to teach you in His Word, so that you can come to a place of reporting spiritual with spiritual. And as you report spiritual with spiritual, there will be life. There will be direction. There will be hope. There will be evidence. There will be substance. We can come back to that place where we can say, this is Jubilee Faith Center. If I've been a downer on you, challenge it with the Holy Spirit. I dare you to challenge this with the Holy Spirit. I dare you to get into the Word this afternoon, tomorrow, the day after. I dare you to get into the Word of God, because I know without a shadow of a doubt this is a Word for the body of believers. And it is time. It is time. Yeah. I had such a heavy burden on me, and the Lord says, I want you to pray for everybody in the church. And I've heard this, I think you guys use the directory. I think it should be called the, Wendy, when you do the directory next time, call it the prayer book. Wouldn't that be cool? It's a liberating thing, yeah. Right? So I said, okay, God, He says, I want you to pray for everybody so their ears would be open, that this body of believers can move on. It was kind of cool. Because Friday night, I was kicked out of the house, and me and Nick were kicked out of the house. And I said to Nick, I really feel the Lord has spoken to me that I'm supposed to pray for everybody. And I'd grabbed the directory when we left. I said, will you pray for everybody in the church with me? 3 months ago, I couldn't do that. And we united with you. We united with you on Friday night, driving down the highway. We became a part of you. The things that I think are stupid by certain little quirks about people, they all went to the wayside. I am so desperately, desperately desiring that the Word of God would become real. That the Holy Spirit would begin life in you. He's here. He is so concerned about this body of believers that He's made evidences so obvious to us. He's put substantial things in our paths that we want to sometimes call as obstacles. And He said, can you please report on those things? I've got a promise for you. Please hear His Word as He says, and be of good courage. Don't pass this by. Be of good courage and bring the fruit of the land. He's calling you to bring the fruit of the land. For you parents that had youth get revived, challenge them. You be the one that challenges them. It's not the church's duty to challenge them. It's your duty. To lead them in the ways of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Amazingly enough, the Holy Spirit can tell you exactly what needs to be spoken at the right time. Exactly. And challenge them to be in the Word every day. Challenge your youth to be in the Word every day. Youth, get in the Word. Parents, kids follow by example. Get in the Word. Can we stand and, just as a church, I know we normally end with, I'm done. You're going to get, I guess I talked longer than I thought. Okay. Can we just make a big circle? And if you don't understand what I've spoken, just challenge the Holy Spirit to teach you. I guarantee you He will. Open your word and allow Him to. But if we can just hold hands together, and I want to, together as a body of Christ, to surrender to the Holy Spirit to teach us. This is a transition time for us as a church, and we need to do that. So everybody, if you just gather around the outside. I'll even hold your hand.